No issue undermines the trust citizens have in their police more than police officers who lie. From low-level stops to deaths in custody, the use of false statements ripples up from the street through the entire criminal justice system. In the latest installment of our ongoing series, NYPD Bruised, WNYC's Robert Lewis reports that little has changed in a quarter century, except that more of them are getting caught.
The story begins here at 2255 Morris Avenue. It's a nondescript six-story apartment building in the Bronx. It's a working-class neighborhood that's seen its share of violence and drugs over the years. It was a Monday afternoon, about 2 p.m. a few summers ago, when an aggressive NYPD narcotics unit was surveilling the building, and a couple men loitering in the lobby caught their attention, and so they ordered them to step outside. One of the police, Detective Greg Larson, later testified that a man named Cleveland White was holding an orange prescription pill bottle in his hand. It was full of oxycodone, and he threw it on the ground. White denied the charges, but it was his word against Larson's, or so the cops thought.
Thank God the surveillance video is there, because what are the chances my client would have been believed?
Nora Constance Marino is an attorney representing White. The video camera is above the front door. The tape showed White wasn't holding drugs in his hand, and he never threw a pill bottle on the ground.
They searched his backpack, and nothing was found, and then they attempted to do it again. And it was after a couple more searches that something was all of a sudden miraculously found.
The charges were dropped, and White filed a lawsuit alleging cops planted the drugs. He's back in prison in an unrelated case. As for Detective Larson, a grand jury indicted him for perjury. The charges have never been reported until now.
I think this is pretty rare. Usually it's just a he said, she said situation, meaning you have two sides of the same story.
There's a video camera everywhere these days, and more they're catching cops who lie. Last year, the Civilian Complaint Review Board flagged as many officers for making false statements as the previous 4 years combined. But officer credibility is an old issue.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that...
In the 1990s, the Mullen Commission on Police Corruption called lying one of the most pervasive forms of malfeasance in the department. The commission introduced the general public to a bit of police vernacular, testa-lying, an informal term for giving false testimony. John Eterno is an associate dean at Molloy College, in charge of the school's graduate criminal justice program.
The idea of testifying is that officers will lie in order to do what they think is a greater good, which is to get these perpetrators behind bars. But in fact, what they are doing is violating the Constitution, violating the law, and really what I would call violating the social contract between the people and the police.
WNYC spent 5 months looking at how often the NYPD's 35,000 officers are found to lie and what happens after. We found more than 120 officers with documented credibility issues over the last 10 years. These are mostly officers whose testimony a judge called unbelievable. It's an incomplete list because state law makes most records of police misconduct confidential. Which brings us back to that perjury case in the Bronx against Detective Larson. It's an extreme example, but it also shows how the department ignored warning signs. Larson had lots of them.
Should he have been on the street until 2012? Absolutely not. Am I surprised that he's on the street in 2012? Absolutely not.
Attorney Leo Glickman sued Larson and three other officers in 2008. The firm's client was a 58-year-old man with a heart condition who needed 9 stitches in his head after his arrest for drug possession. A judge tossed the charges because she didn't believe the cops. She said it was improbable a frail man with no criminal record would choose to fight 4 armed police officers.
She said that this court is not in a position to render judgment on police misconduct cases, but these officers don't have credibility, which is a rather remarkable thing for a judge to say, but it seemed to nevertheless have had no bearing on his career as a police officer.
It's one of at least 16 lawsuits against Larson, alleging false arrest, bogus charges, brutality, half of them before the arrest that led to his perjury indictment. He also has a history of civilian complaints. Even with all that, and a perjury indictment, an NYPD tribunal recommended Larson stay on the force, on probation. Records show that Rosemary Maldonado, the deputy commissioner for trials, cited 3 other cases where officers lied in court but were allowed to keep their jobs. In December 2014, Commissioner William Branton overruled her and fired Larson. In court filings, Larson says he was exhausted and handling too many arrests at once. His perjury case is still pending, and his attorney declined comment.
We are facing more challenges to our testimony in this day and age. A police officer's testimony is no longer taken as gospel.
That's Michael Palladino, head of Larson's former union, the Detectives Endowment Association. He didn't know about Larson's case, but he says there's no reason to jump to conclusions about an officer's character, even one facing perjury charges.
In many cases, we are acquitted after a trial. So it just goes to show you that just because the allegation is raised doesn't really mean that the detective is guilty or not.
Most officers with credibility issues stay on the force anyway. We found 54 who made more than 2,700 arrests after a judge or disciplinary panel found fault with their word.
The takeaway is NYPD doesn't really care when their officers lie. They don't take it very seriously. So then how do you build the trust again?
Tina Luongo oversees public defenders in the criminal division at the Legal Aid Society. Right now, her office is digging into dozens of cases involving a Bronx cop named Luis Rios. He's been on the force for 20 years. In 2012, he admitted to lying about an on-the-job injury and misleading internal affairs. But the NYPD let him stay on the street anyway. Legal Aid represented 48 people he arrested after that. And Luongo says they never knew about his credibility issue until this past May, when one of his arrests ended up in federal court and his disciplinary record came out.
Don't you have to be trustworthy? Isn't like to something like the oath or something?
Joshua Bermudez was arrested by Rios for drug possession after a routine traffic stop in December 2014. The case is still open, and Bermudez denies the charges, but it's his word against the cops.
Well, like, it's a badge and the uniform, and they feel like he's a good guy, but he's really not.
To be clear, officers testify honestly every day, and most of the city's 35,000 cops have never been formally accused of lying. Even in cases where cops don't tell the truth, that doesn't mean the defendant is innocent. WNYC found more than 24 cases of convicted felons caught carrying a gun who were set free because a federal judge didn't believe the cops' version of events. Palladino, the detectives union president, says some of those cases may be a sign of sloppy paperwork or faulty memory.
Cops are human, too. And the amount of cases that they handle has to be taken into consideration, especially when they're asked 2, 3, 4, or as many as 5 years later to recall the specifics of a particular case.
The NYPD says all new recruits get integrity training, and Internal Affairs investigates perjury. Larry Byrne is the deputy commissioner for legal matters.
It's very important that we get the facts right.
But he admits there are gaps in oversight. For example, in criminal cases, there's a type of hearing where a judge decides whether to admit or suppress evidence. It's one of the only times a neutral third party publicly assesses the credibility of a police officer.
Often when judges make those findings, it never comes to the attention of the NYPD or, in fact, the officer herself or himself.
So the department is working with prosecutors on a system to find out about those decisions. That was recommended back in 1999. After the Mullen Commission, the NYPD also adopted a zero-tolerance policy. Any officer who made a false official statement would be fired. That was in 1996. Less than a decade later, the department watered it down. Only intentional false statements about a material matter would get a cop fired. That rarely happens. Records show that roughly 2/3 of officers who are found guilty in departmental proceedings still keep their jobs. For WNYC, I'm Robert Lewis.
This is the first in a 3-part series on police credibility and accountability. Tomorrow, we'll take you inside the courthouse to see how secrecy undermines the criminal justice process and what some people are doing about it.